And welcome to all this program of Shades of Green here on Campus FM 103.7, broadcast every Tuesday at 14:30 with a repeat on Fridays at 20:00. And the focus today will revolve on one of the aspects mentioned in one of our previous Vox Pops, an issue which many of you are aware of. And I'm talking here of waste management. Well, good day to you all. This is Vanessa inviting you to stand by today as we have many interesting contributions to the much-discussed topic of waste management. And according to the regional overviews and information sources in Europe, more than any other region in the world, Western Europe has endorsed and largely implemented integrated waste management. Western European governments are generally required to design the waste management systems around the proverbial waste management hierarchy, with waste prevention given the highest priority, followed by reuse, recycling, materials recovery, energy recovery and disposal as the last resort. There is some variation even within the European Union. For example, while most northern European nations give materials recovery a higher priority than energy recovery, France does not distinguish between them and assigns them equal weight in keeping materials out of landfills. Europe is in general a densely populated region with many old cities and mature settlements. There can be said to be more than 1,000 years, 2,000 in some cases, of experience with the public health and commercial consequences of inadequate urban sanitation. European governments, perhaps as a consequence, accept the role of the public sector at the local, regional and in some cases national levels in taking responsibility for waste management. This stance has confirmed in recent court contests over European Commission solid waste directives. Well, and in addition, the generally social democratic cast of European national and regional governments tends to bolster both governmental and public expectations that the public sector is the prime mover in waste management. However, the governments are increasingly turning to the private sector to carry out waste management services. And then for the local scene, we have with us over the phone Alexandra Mifsud, as an environmental educator with WasteServe. Welcome to Shades of Green. Alexandra, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. So, well, Alexandra, we have spoken about the waste management strategies and policy. What about the local scene? What is it? What's the waste management strategy and what are its aims?
Yes. Way back in October 2001, the Maltese government adopted a national waste management strategy, which covers solid waste management for the Maltese Islands. Basically, this strategy encapsulates various aspects of waste management, particularly including, for example, institutional measures, legislative and policies, measures to do with new policies, new legislation that need to be put into place, as well as, of course, other aspects such as infrastructural works. So basically, the strategy covers a lot of different aspects of waste management. First of all, it needed to tackle the issue that, as a country, we had no adequate institutions to take care of waste management. We had a great lack of human resources and in this field. So, of course, that was one of the first priorities in the strategy. Secondly, we also needed to have to brush up on our legal framework. So the strategy also lists several policies and legal notices or laws that need to be put into place and into force in order for Malta to have adequate waste management facilities and waste management policies. Most of these laws and legal notices are now under the responsibility of the Malta Environment and Planning Authority because it is the regulatory institution. So MEPA has taken over the responsibility, this part of the strategy within its operations. With regards to WasteServe, we look after mostly the implementation of facilities. So basically, on the part of WasteServe, our major role is we are taking care of the infrastructural projects that need to be put into place, such as, for example, the facilities such as bring-in sites in order to encourage waste separation, recovery facilities for waste to be directed towards recycling, landfills, etc. And of course, both entities, both WasteServe and MEPA, we try to do our part to give a sort of educational aspect to it all, meaning both of us have to keep the public informed. MEPA has to keep the public informed with regards to the new laws, etc., that are put into place, whereas on our part, we try to also have a lot of kind of awareness-raising campaigns, etc., with regards to waste. And that is basically what I've just said encapsulates and covers most of what is in the waste management strategy.
Okay, Alexandra, that was a very interesting piece of information, but now I ask you to stand by us. Here with us, we have our resident guest, Dr. Patch, and I'm sure that he's got a question or two to ask you.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, hello.
Just to inform you about a Vox Pop that we had done with our students at the university.
Yes.
When we asked them to mention three major environmental problems that we are facing currently in Malta, waste came up as one of the most common. And in fact, this tallies with a lot of research, other research results carried out throughout the country through different fora. In your opinion, what do you think is the main cause of this problem, this excess waste that we are currently hoarding at MATAP?
Yes, of course, similar to most other environmental problems that our country has to address. One main cause is the fact that there was lack of action in the past. So following a number of years of almost ignoring the problem, and then, of course, the problem increases to a point where now we cannot run away from it any further. And that is, I think, applies to any other environmental issue, such as air pollution, traffic, transport problems that we are facing on a daily basis in our country, because they have not been addressed in the past. However, now going to specifically waste, of course, it has to do also, it ties very strongly with our lifestyle. So whilst there was no action being taken to address the problem, in the meantime, society in Malta was progressing to a point where it was developing towards a society which became much more consumeristic, and so, of course, we were generating much more waste. So, of course, suddenly waste generation exploded. So, of course, yes, there was these two factors put together have now, of course, been the result of which everybody knows is our pleasant waste dump at MATAP.
The reason why I asked you this question is basically ties up with the overall strategy, in the sense that, as is commonly known by even a lot of the literature available, all this waste management strategy can be sorted out with the famous three R's, the reduce, reuse, and recycle actions. And you are also aware that there are other literatures which increase these R's to five and even more. Refuse, reduce, reuse, repair, and recycle. But, well, I think that most of the activity being carried out as part of the waste management strategy still are focusing a lot on recycling. And personally, I feel that recycling is the very end action that one needs to focus on, in the sense that, as you correctly said, that most of the problem is being caused by an unsustainable lifestyle that most of us are living.
Okay.
And personally, most of the I feel that most of the other R's focus on this new lifestyle that we are trying to promote. What is being done as regards your end with regards to the previous R's rather than just the recycling?
Yes. I think we had come to a point where because we lack the infrastructural facilities for for recycling of waste, adequate landfilling facilities, etc., of course, we had started off at the very beginning of the implementation of the waste management strategy by focusing much more on waste reduction, because basically we could not focus on encouraging people to separate their waste to channel it towards recycling when there weren't any facilities available, and facilities take long to be put into place because you need the tender process, you need to get funding, etc., and so on. So whilst all this was going on, the preparatory work to put into place facilities, the aspects of waste reduction were being, promoted much more amongst the public. However, then we realized that the Maltese public, even though we might not see the Maltese public in this way, but there is definitely a sector in the Maltese, within the Maltese public, where they had become too impatient to wait any further, meaning they themselves were aware that they should focus on waste reduction, but they were demanding, for example, recycling facilities. It means they wanted to move ahead. The feedback we were getting from the public and from the media and the environmental organizations was, how long are you going to keep telling us to reduce waste? Can't you do something now? Why don't you provide us with the facilities for people to take their waste to recycle? So, of course, that had to be taken into consideration, and some very quick solution was found to try and channel some waste, at least so that we offered the service of waste separation through the bring-in site facilities. So we started on waste reduction, and then suddenly we had to focus again on waste separation and recycling.
What I mean, Alex, is that it's far easier for an individual to recycle materials rather than reduce the waste being generated, in the sense that, for example, even in my place of work, people sort of feel not sort of guilty to waste paper, for example, as long as it's going for recycling. You know what I mean? Wouldn't this generate this and encourage this particular attitude? You know, that, okay, when we can continue wasting the way we are, and then there's a cure for this particular problem through recycling. What I mean is that certain people, I personally think, do not know exactly the fact that recycling is not that green in itself, in the sense that it generates environmental problems, which you might like to highlight.
Whilst I agree with you that recycling by far is definitely not the best solution. Following a lot of contact and, you know, with people in various private organizations, factories, hotels, restaurants, wherever, I started to feel, although I share your ideas on this point, and I strongly believe in them, that definitely we have to try and train people and educate people to reduce rather than just send things for recycling. I began to feel that in order to introduce the concept of sustainable waste management, the easiest way to do it was to approach the public through recycling or through waste separation. Somehow it is something they could find easy to do, or some, you know, it was one way of introducing the concept of sustainable waste management. So my idea now is, although deep inside me I feel differently, but with the public, with most of the organizations we work with, I feel that the best way to get to them to eventually do waste reduction is by first talking to them about, for example, waste separation or recycling, because this is a concept which they feel is easy to do. So once I catch them, once I attract their attention on this, and I get them going on waste separation and waste and channeling their waste for recycling, and I tell them, hey, listen now, let's move one step ahead. You can do this. It's a double-edged sword, because probably, as you said, they might feel comfortable doing this waste separation and not bother to take initiatives on waste reduction. But with private entities, we always have a little carrot which says, listen, waste reduction means cost, you know, will render you financial benefits. If you use a paper, you know, if you ensure that a paper is used on both sides, you're reducing the number of, you know, paper that you have to purchase, etc., etc. Yes, we have to focus much, much more on waste reduction. And as WasteServe, I think we have to put our heads together and focus much more on it. We do it with C&D waste, with construction and demolition waste, where it was included in one of the, for example, the contract conditions that they need to try, the developer need, must, you know, try to reduce the amount of wastage of stone
just
and so
try.
On. But for normal household waste, let's put it this way, yes, we talk about it, but we need to give more focus to it.
Yes, in fact, Alexandra, I'm sorry to butt in, but yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine, actually, and we were talking about this recycling and waste separation, you know, the disposal bins that are set up in some of the villages in Malta. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, I want to ask, in how many villages are they set up? Are they set up in just one part of the country, or are they set up a bit everywhere?
Well, our plan was to have at least one facility, it means one set of these bins in every local council to start off with. That at least we go, you know, with nationwide. However, at the moment there are talks going on underway between our ministry and the ministry responsible for local councils, because these are facilities that need to be provided and serviced by the local councils according to local council regulations. The local councils are responsible and have money allocated to them specifically for the separate collection of waste. However, we obviously know that no local council was doing this. Every local council was just offering a service where waste was collected in a mixed manner. So in the absence of the separate collection of waste within households, from households, Our waste serve felt that it should provide the facilities themselves. However, we still needed cooperation and approval from the local councils, because they are facilities put in their locality. And basically, they were the ones who had to apply for a permit to have them there, because to put those facilities, you need to apply to MEPA to have those facilities put there. You have to choose an adequate site, etc., etc. So now they are in some. They are now in those localities where the local councils accepted our offer to have these bins in their locality at our expense. It means Waste Service is paying for the service. Where there were local councils who, for some reason or other, objected to having these facilities in their local council, in their locality, in other words, denying their residents such a service, of course there aren't any. But now there are talks underway where hopefully we will solve this problem in the coming weeks, months, let's hope.
Hopefully.
So, yes, there aren't in every local council.
And, well, we were talking about another part of this issue, about the different bins to dispose of materials. And, well, we're discussing it, and we could see, you know, with our own eyes, that sometimes people went next to these bins, next to these separate bins, and threw their own rubbish bags, you know, piling them up next to these bins. What I wanted to ask, what we were asking ourselves was, is there anything that's being done, organized in terms of marketing, in terms of some sort of PR, some sort of, like, education for people? I mean, I've seen billboards here and there, just a few billboards here and there. But is there anything in the pipeline that, you know?
In fact, once these bins, you know, started mushrooming in various localities, basically it was the run-up was between October and Christmas. That's when we started to have the approval to start putting them in some localities. In parallel, yes, we had designed a communications strategy, which was specifically targeting, you know, the making people aware of what these bins are. And the strategy, and this communication strategy has now, the first phase of it was has been completed around Christmas time, and the second phase is about to start imminently. Basically, the approach we took for the communication strategy was, first of all, we had to start to tell people, listen, do you know what a bring-in site is? This is what a bring-in site is, to familiarize the public with the concept. And then we started going a bit more in detail. Listen, you know, bring-in site, you put glass in the brown bin, metal in the black bin, plastic in the blue bin, and paper in the white bin. We also put up adverts with their with their location, where exactly where you could find these bins. Now the second phase will go into much more detail. We've stopped for a month so that we took in feedback, which we get through our free phone and through each of us. I mean, each of us have families, and our own families are basically very critical, you know, but they represent the ordinary citizen, and to us it's the desired feedback that we need. So we've taken in these comments, this feedback, and we have designed the second phase of the communication plan, which will go into detail and address these queries. Of course, we have to start to tell people, for example, things like make sure it's clean paper, don't throw dirty tissues. You know, if you've got a cold and you're using disposable tissues, please don't throw them into these bins. If you've got a lot of plastic bottles, kindly deposit them into the bin. Don't leave the bag outside the bin. we have to go, so it starts to get deeper, the campaign. It goes sort of into depth.
And this is basically leads very neatly to my next question, Alex, as regards the educational program that you are currently hosting. I know that there is also a web page that you have designed. Can you please brief us a little bit on that?
Yes. Of course, what we've talked so far was what we're doing, let's put it this way, with society in general. The use of the ring insights, and I also refer to that we do work with private entities, organizations who want to set up a waste management plan and so on. Although all of them have an educational aspect, then there is, of course, one key point where we focus on, let's put it the same, more formal type of education, where we address students and schools, etc. In my opinion, this is a sector where we have virtually no problems. The enthusiasm, the awareness is extremely high amongst most people who are involved in formal education, and I'm very pleased, to be very honest, but they need a lot of support. And also there has to be ongoing educational initiatives, because sometimes you might come across schools where they have a lot of enthusiasm, and unless you support these schools, and then, you know, the enthusiasm just dies down. So yes, we have addressed this issue by putting up a website, which is specifically, first of all, we have a website on Project SCART. It's an educational website for the society in general, and that is www.projectscart, which is P-R-O-G-E-T-T-S-K-A-R-T, projectscart.com. So www.projectscart.com. And on this website, there is the section on education, which then literally takes the individual to a completely new website specifically targeted for people involved in education.
Would that include also materials for teachers?
Issues and aspects in waste management, the importance of waste reduction and, you know, resource management, etc., through lesson plans which are basically in various subjects that are taught within most multi-schools. We've had some positive feedback from these lesson plans. We have had teachers, since we've launched it last December, we've had teachers who have used this website and have tried out these lesson plans and have found them extremely interesting, and you know, we look forward to more comments and feedback so that we can improve upon them. That is one of our main educational initiatives. We also try to, at WaseServe, we try to work on, for example, teacher training. So whenever we get requests, for example, from schools who are interested in doing waste separation, we try to encourage them to also have some kind of training session for teachers, either through their staff development days or through their a short teachers meeting and so on, where at least we could introduce them to some of the concepts in sustainable waste management. We've also had a good response to such initiatives, and, you know, it works very well. I don't know whether it's, it is educational too, but and it also links directly to sustainable waste management is we promote a lot, for example, home composting,
mm-hmm.
Where it's one of my favorite areas because I feel it's one way of giving back nature what we're taking from nature, and I am all for it. I lead this project also, and I have immense support from the rest of my team at WasteServe, where we also educate people on how they can make their own compost. But of course, we don't just take the approach as if we're talking about sort of from the gardening point of view. Most of these people are usually garden lovers, but we also introduce them to concepts like you're reducing waste. Your household waste bag will obviously have much less. There's much less to be thrown away.
Yes.
So we try in these informal ways to educate the public on such practices.
Thank you very much, Alexandra. We thank you very much for your very useful information that you gave us today. So that was all by our guest. Well, we return back to the studio with Dr. Paul Pudge. So, in actual fact, Dr. Paul Pudge, all this was very, very interesting. Again, as Alexandra has said, I have surfed the web and gone to projectscard.com, and I really, really urge you that everyone should log in, given your comments, log into those fora, put in your comments, your suggestions, everything, because the site is really, really excellent, and you should all go in and surf it. So, Dr. Pudge, to conclude all this, what can we do to reduce waste?
Well, basically, I think we should leave that for next time for the next program. Thank you.
That is quite eloquent.
Yeah.
So that is all for today from us here on Campus FM on 103.7. This is Shades of Green. I thank Dr. Pudge, our guest Alexandra Mifsud, for all their contributions. And, of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in. Till then, Vanessa says bye-bye and take care.